as we move to the next level of mentoring, the occasional level, keep in mind that this level is less deliberate and less intensive than the previous one. The occasional level involves three types of mentoring functions or roles within the occasional level. And they are the counselor, the teacher, and the sponsor, which can be extremely helpful to the mentoree during special times of specific need. Although every mentoring type has areas of overflow, the distinguishing factor in all of these types of mentoring is the focus of each style. The focus of each type is different. And in the counselor mode, the focus is on timely advice and impartial perspectives regarding circumstances or regarding one's view of themselves or their view of others. You see, it is quite possible to not be thinking correctly about an issue or about a certain subject because we are either biased or sometimes we are just simply wrong. And there are a lot of people who would disagree with that because they know everything. But for those who want to grow and develop and mature in the Lord, they understand that sometimes they don't think correctly on an issue. And it is good and it is wise to seek a counselor's advice. And placing our perspectives and our views on the table for others to examine helps us maintain a healthy balance. Listening to the advice and godly counsel of a trusted individual can be immeasurably helpful. Exodus contains a fine example of timely advice from someone who acted as a counselor. And in this particular event, Moses has a specific need and receives counsel from his father-in-law, Jethro. Let's follow the account in Exodus chapter 18, verses 13 through 27. And it came about the next day that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood about Moses from the morning until the evening. Now when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and judge, and all the people stand about you from morning until evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, it comes to me, and I judge between a man and his neighbor, and make known the statutes of God and his laws." And Moses' father-in-law said to him, "This thing that you are doing is not good. You will surely wear out both yourself and these people who are with you, for the task is too heavy for one. You cannot do it alone. Now listen to me. I shall give you counsel, and God be with you. You be the people's representative before God, and you bring the disputes to God. Then teach them the statutes and the laws, and make known to them the way in which they are to walk, and the work they are to do. Furthermore, you shall select out of all the people able men who fear God, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain, and you shall place these over them as leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And let them judge the people at all times. And let it be that every major dispute they will bring to you, but every minor dispute they themselves will judge. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden for you. If you do this thing, and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all these people also will go to their place in peace. So Moses listened to his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And they judged the people at all times. The difficult dispute they would bring to Moses, but every minor dispute they themselves would judge. Then Moses bade his father-in-law farewell, and he went his way into his own land. In this particular instance, Jethro, the mentor, saw a very specific need in Moses, since he already had an established relationship with him. Jethro felt comfortable offering advice that would be beneficial for both Moses and the people. Jethro's words were wise words and properly given for the moment. They were timely advice because, had Moses continued judging all the people himself, extreme fatigue would have set in, impeding Moses' ability to do a good job. And soon the task would overwhelm him. He listened to his father-in-law's perspective and wisely incorporated it. Then the counseling situation was over, and Jethro moved on. This type of mentoring relationship need not continue for a long period of time, and it really need not have the intense degree of accountability as we see in the intensive level. Often it is one-time encounters like this that can provide very specific help in a very specific situation. The Bible speaks favorably of the need for timely counsel. Some examples from Proverbs prove this very point. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. Proverbs 15, verses 22 through 23. Without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. A man has joy in an apt answer. And how delightful is a timely word. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18. Prepare plans by consultation and make war by wise guidance. Receiving timely counsel is a positive for our life. When someone who has life experiences worth sharing And I'm referring to both good and bad experiences, because we can learn from both of those. And when we connect that person up with someone who needs to learn those experiences, the experienced with the inexperienced, then empowerment can occur to great levels. This counsel can come from peers, it can come from colleagues. And in one sense, they've been in ministry, and they have probably had very similar experiences. And so they can provide the needed perspective. Often, however, someone too close to the situation may be biased. And what this does is it skews the advice and it biases the perspective that that person may give. Someone totally outside the situation, who can remain impartial, is able to give a broader and unbiased perspective. They have nothing at stake in the situation except to provide good counsel from their own knowledge and from their own experiences. The point is this. You want to find someone who understands your context without being involved to the point of partiality. The last thing we need is a small group of individuals who make up a clique, who have one certain view and sit around and listen to this view and encourage it. And the view is unhealthy because it's so biased. It's so they're so involved in the situation that they cannot see above it, beyond it, underneath it. Their perspective really is limited and is not healthy. So find someone who understands your context without being involved to the point of partiality. In one particular church, younger ladies lamented the fact that there were no older ladies with experience and wisdom to counsel them in godliness. And on several occasions, younger ladies went to the older ones seeking advice from someone who was more experienced. And unfortunately, instead of advice, they received criticism. Now, needless to say, the older ladies probably had much to give, but they lacked the wisdom and the tact to convey it. They were really more interested in condemnation than rejuvenation. One individual claimed to have the gift of discernment, and his unbridled gift was so out of hand that he felt every decision of the governing board must go through him for approval. He reasoned that since he had the gift of discernment, everything should be brought to him to discern if it was right or wrong, if it was the Lord's will or not. Well, he wanted to act as a counselor, but instead ended up alienating everyone by his inappropriate use of the gift. Now, not only must a counselor possess the experience and the knowledge necessary to act as advice giver, but the counselor must also share that experience and knowledge with timeliness, with appropriateness, and with much wisdom and with much tact. It's simply not enough to merely have the experience and the knowledge. Good counselors know how to package it in a way that is palatable. It is acceptable and it brings life and joy instead of death and condemnation. So if you are a mentor, remember the focus is upon timely and appropriate advice. That's the focus. After several years in full-time ministry, my wife and I took a vacation to a Christian campsite, which was specifically designed for members of the clergy. Professional, qualified counselors were available to anyone who desired their services. We stayed in a beautiful chalet in the mountains, and it was quiet and it was peaceful, and there was no television set to distract us. To maximize our time there, we met with a counselor for several hours each day for 5 days. It was a time to bounce off ideas and to share some of our ministry perspectives, to see if we were viewing things correctly. You see, we fully recognize that it was possible to be so involved that we became biased and that our perspective was a little warped. And so we wanted to bounce this off an impartial third party with whom we could seek honest, timely, and appropriate advice. We said to him during the first meeting, "We want to tell you where we've been and where we are now. We want you to listen to us and tell us if we're on the right track or if there's something we have overlooked." I think he was somewhat taken back by our bluntness, but by the end of the week, he said, "Usually I can't share too deeply with those who come here because they really don't want to hear it. But you guys are willing to hear the truth, and you are serious about putting it into action." I guess our note-taking during the sessions gave us away. We were serious. We wanted to maximize our time there. Not only did we have a wonderful, beautiful, relaxing time, but there were qualified counselors there, and I wanted to bounce some things off of them. And his unbiased perspective was important to me. And even though we met for only 2 hours a day for 5 days, his timely and appropriate advice came at the right time and in the right way. The counselor-mentor relationship can be either formal or informal. In other words, some people will want to establish a formal relationship where one is declared the counselor advice giver and the other one is the mentoree, and they will meet over a period of time, possibly with specific goals in mind. That would be formal. Informally, someone may just meet for coffee on Saturdays and just kind of discuss things and say something like, "You know, I'd like to bounce this off you." And over a period of time, over a cup of coffee, maybe going fishing together, maybe going out to lunch, advice is given. One acts as a counselor, one acts as a mentoree through the informal relationship. The degree of accountability will vary depending upon the needs of the mentoree. Sometimes mentors can initiate the timely advice if the basis of a relationship is already established, such as with Jethro to Moses. He was Moses' father-in-law. The relationship had already been established. Normally, however, what occurs is the mentoree senses a specific need and then seeks out an appropriate individual whom they think can meet that need. Who would be the best person to give me advice in this particular area. The principle of attraction is important as well, because it's foundational to the whole relational process. And an atmosphere of trust is conducive to the receiving of advice. I cannot emphasize this enough. In an atmosphere of trust and confidence, advice is more freely given and it is more readily received. The length of time with a counselor is not as important as the timeliness and appropriateness of the advice given. This is the end of number 10.